You're listening to Natalie Tuck on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition.
Indeed. Well, actually, you will be in a few seconds because Natalie's back with us.
Yay, hello.
Natalie. And Sue Rice is in the studio.
Good morning, Nat.
All sorts of other marvellous things from that point of view. And, you know, life continues in its own merry, wonderful way, which is pretty much what life actually does on that sort of basis. Sorry, we're just having one or two little teeny-weeny challenges with respect to technological basis. I think we had a phantom fiddler from that perspective.
The hamsters are awake early.
It's something that's certainly around from that perspective. Never mind. Natalie, what is life treating you like as an ace financial journalist specialising in pensions in the fine city of London?
It's going well, Alex. Yeah, it's really fun. It's, you know, it's tube strikes and everything.
Nat, I was in London on Friday, and my goodness, I've not been down there for probably nearly 8 years, and King's Cross really has changed a lot, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Did you go to King's Cross, Sue?
I did indeed, and unfortunately I did try and get on the Underground, but I bought my ticket, and I thought I knew where I was going, and I got through the barrier, and then I went... No.
Oh,
I have to get out of here. And I left. And I ran straight upstairs and I went, taxi! And it took me to Waterloo.
Sue, I'm sure that somewhere along the line we'll get ourselves together and you know, you...
I felt ashamed. I really did.
There's a clear message there which understands and all underpins all sorts of other bits and pieces, which is great stuff. I think Jeff Thompson's... Could he have a traffic message? I don't know. Jeff, welcome to the programme. Have you brought something
good morning.
For the early morning sort of sequence?
No, I'm just here. I'm just calling in, Alex. I thought I would take a picture. And put it on Facebook so the whole world can see.
Lord.
Oh, it's a pity, Nat. You can sort of do it virtually, Nat.
shall I do my Vulcan salute this time? I will. Yes. I'll actually do it for the benefit of the listener. And it's a wonderful, exciting thing. It's a live Facebook picture, isn't it? 21st century coming to the magic of Lincoln. And the siren. There we are. So, social networker Jeff Thompson. And indeed, host of the breakfast shows on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Yeah, it's a small world. Sorry, Natalie, we can't. I mean, with Sue sort of challenges
okay,
there.
So, Alex.
It's fairly straightforward, the London Underground, in terms of where you're going, what you're doing, how things are sort of put together on that sort of basis. So I find it difficult. How did you get lost on the London Underground? Or did he not get lost?
It's very, very...
Did you get scared?
Yeah, there's a lot of people, isn't there, now?
There is a lot. It gets very busy. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know
and
where I was going.
They all look so happy as well. It's wonderful, you know.
I was shocked.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's there.
Truly.
So happy. I think they need more Natalie Tuck goodness that comes through. In fact, what we should actually have is every time there's a statement which just says, mind the gap...
Ooh.
That's what you need, you know. Mind the gap, and then equally.
Ooh.
Exactly.
Oh, Alex.
Exactly. Natalie, that's one of the best sound bites in my entire
for
broadcasting
the rest of
career.
My life.
So, what has been going on in London then, Nat?
I'm trying to think. I feel like I'm very busy, but I don't know what I'm busy doing. It's quite nice. I've been down here nearly a year now, and I live out near Wimbledon, and we have a nice group of friends, which is really good, and we kind of, you know, we have dinners, and we have Bake Off Club. Who's been watching the Bake Off?
Did you see that lion last night? Wow!
Yes, I did. I know, fantastic.
It was brilliant.
Yeah. So we have Bake Off Club every Wednesday night. Somebody bakes some cakes and we all meet up and watch it.
Once again, you reminded me, Natalie, that we have been without an official Bake Off on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition
Alex.
Yeah, nigh on 2012. Yeah, 2012, I think, the last one
was. If you'd said I'm like a mini Nigella, you could have brought something in for
me. No, I'm not thinking about this morning, but I'm thinking certainly with the upcoming return of Jessica and Emma Tenson, clearly. You know, I mean, Emma's just chomping at at the bit to actually reclaim, well, basically not reclaim, but actually take your title, Natalie, I'm sure, in terms of working through that. So, you know, we'll have words with William Sidwell. He's currently in France. We're not sure they'll connect with him today. We might. We'll just have to wait and see. It's that excitement that's actually there. In the Dordogne, in case you want to.
Oh, very nice.
Oh, lovely.
That sort of system. But we will be finding out on the programme about what's happening at the Howden Wheat Sheaf, which is a place in Howden which is actually running a charity bike ride for the North Yorkshire Air Ambulance this coming Saturday, which we might be sort of attending, etc. And Joanna Holt will be updating
us. Are you going to take part, Alex?
Well, Natalie, I was all set ready to do so, but then you said no. I'm not able to get up to Yorkshire this weekend. I'll be there after a fashion. I mean, I might be doing a few sort of bits and bobs. Anyway, I wouldn't want to eclipse Tommy Cannon, who's going to be there. So you know, I mean, rock on, Tommy. It's only so much goodness you can actually take. It's amazing Tommy's actually doing something other than the Lincoln Theatre Royal pantomime. But never mind, it's all good because we know how much Cannon and Ball and Lincoln mean to each other. They do, seriously. Cool. Katie Grimerson, one of her highlights as an undergraduate, and if she's listening in Birmingham, you know, confirm this, was not just actually the press lunch for the pantomime, but also the sensational work with Ed Wellman when she actually got to interview Tommy Cannon and Bobby Ball, and they took her under their proverbial wings, in a good sense, you know, all marvellous, and she was very impressed with that, which proves that...
I feel bad, because, you know, I never... saw Cannon and Ball
Panto,
Alex.
Listen, neither have I, Natalie.
I've only ever seen him in Marks and Spencer's. It's not quite the same thing, is it?
It's all right, you know, they're wonderful folk. We can't, you know, at the end of the day...
He's behind you!
We could have lied, but we thought, no, we have an honesty here on Siren 107.3 FM, which is pretty much what you can say about the weather forecast. Highs of 22 degrees centigrade, lows of 18 degrees centigrade, cloudy start, clearing through the morning with sunny intervals. So there we are. We can celebrate and rejoice. Does it get quite humid in London? Because I found when I was down at the National Portrait Gallery, it was quite humid, actually.
It has recently been very humid. Mm. Not so much some sunshine. At the moment, it's so miserable. Last night, absolute downpour. I'm actually jetting off out of the country next week. I'm going to Dubrovnik in Croatia, so I'm quite excited for a bit of sunshine.
Very nice.
Now, is that business or a sort of much needed holiday?
It's a holiday with Jill, Alex.
Lovely.
That's Natalie's mum. Of course. You see, I remembered, because normally I refer to her as Carol.
Yes, well done.
You know, it's taken many a year, but she slipped. Did you see the way she slipped that in there? A holiday with Jill.
Yes.
Jill?
Yeah.
Jill? Who is this Jill of which you speak? But yeah,
what informed your holiday destination of choice then? That it's not sort of your average everyday place to go.
It was Jill, actually. Yeah, she informed it.
Trust your mother, clearly, that's the thing.
Yeah.
Holiday destinations.
I don't know why she'd seen, you know, an advert for a holiday to Dubrovnik, and then she decided that she'd like to go. Mm. And so we sort of booked, you know, elsewhere. But, yeah, and, you know, it looks absolutely stunning, and there's lots to do, lots of history to be explored. So, yeah, I'm really excited.
Oh, I hope that's nice.
I hope Dubrovnik is ready for you, Natalie, is all I can say. And, of course, you can look forward to when Bridget begins to sort of sprout wings, etc. She will be coming to you for holiday advice as well, Sue.
Do you know, it's funny, my lovely husband and I were only talking this morning. You spend your days trying to strangle them. You think, oh, no, just
be quiet.
I'm sure
Jill never said that about Natalie.
And yet, she's away at the coast at the moment with my parents, and this is the fourth day we've been without her, and we go home at night and it's sort of, the house is still tidy. The house is quiet. Oh, there are Bridget's shoes by the door. Oh.
Uh-huh.
So it's nice to be without her, but it's nice for her to come back.
Yeah.
And that's the message we'd like to send to all our GCSE successful people today.
Yes,
or even
good
less
luck.
Successful. Good luck with respect to that. But remember, at the end of the day, despite what they might say and despite the fact they might put their hands around your neck, they're not trying to strangle you. The parents love you and miss you. Okay?
No.
So,
yeah.
I think we can say that uniformly. You know, they might show it in their own different ways, but that's an important thing. Yeah. Not any further on that line, but there we are. And there's always another day. I'm getting very philosophical. It's almost like Mike Dooley sort of taking over on that particular base. Natalie, it's been splendiferous. And clearly, we could try and reach out in Dubrovnik, but she's not going to pick up there. You know,
I wouldn't. I'd turn my phone off.
We'll work on that whole sort of sequence. So, Sue Rice, as we await the arrival of Eva McDonald, obviously yesterday just too much for her. She did the 2-hour sort of show. Miss Teen
Worn
UK.
Her out.
It's clearly, it was all the excitement. Never mind. Would you like to put those last two questions to our ace correspondent extraordinaire, the midweek drivette from Yorkshire, Selby, and all sorts of other people, is now based in London. Natalie Tuck, go Sue.
Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this morning, Nat?
Yes, I have, Sue. It's always a fun start to the day.
And will you be joining us again?
Yes, I'm sure I will.
Jolly good. Yay. Have a lovely day.
Thank you.
Could ask the question, Sue, what connects Alicia Vikander with the Trevi Fountain and indeed a whole heap of other sort of cinematic idols that are actually there? Anita Ekberg, you know, Anita Ekberg and Alicia Vikander, what connects them?
Asking me these sorts of questions at this hour of the morning is just not going to happen.
We could also go on and say, if we're putting a top 10 of things together for Spy-Fi movies, well, then I'd turn around and suggest this for Phil Leonis and Richard Fitzwilliams. I'd say The Spy Who Came In From the Cold. I'd say The Third Man. I'd say From Russia With Love. I'd say The Quiller Memorandum. I'd also say The Man From U.N.C.L.E. I think it's there. It's well up from Gary Barlow. You know, take that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm totally in agreement. In agreement, which is very strange.
Last night he went to the cinema and he said, "Loved The Man From U.N.C.L.E. Beautifully shot. Love a night at the Flicks."
Beautifully
and
shot.
And who doesn't?
Exactly. And you've got not just got Alicia Vikander, you've got Henry Cavill in the Robert Vaughn role doing his stuff, you know, echoing the whole sort of sequence. Armie Hammer as Ilya Kuryakin. They don't actually diss the history because it's a prehistory. It shows how Kuryakin and Solo got together. Even Hugh Grant actually comes out well.
Good
I
Lord.
Left the cinema. But this is not our job. It's not our job to do critical reviews of movies, etc. It's Richard Fitzwilliams. Richard, good morning. How are you, sir?
Why, Alex, you know, this is going to be, I'm afraid, a tough morning because we're going to be at war.
Oh, no.
You've given a review, and I have to say, well, I'm delighted that you got a lot out of The Man from U.N.C.L.E. I have to say that it is a lesson in how not to make a movie.
Oh.
Yes, I'm afraid so.
Controversial.
Now, here we have it, you see. This is a good piece of provocation, which, in fact, is going to, I think, be very entertaining for us. Because when you come to the first-class espionage movies, I mean, I absolutely agree with you about The Spy Who Came From the Cold.
Yes.
I actually had the Ipsos file. I'll get a few more on a top list. But when we come to a list of forgettable movies, and that will be very, very long, I would remind you
Fantastic Four and possibly A Royal Night Out, okay?
No, I mean forgettable espionage.
Ah, okay.
There was no espionage in
A
Royal Night Out. Yeah. It's simply something that
it featured the Secret Service after a fashion.
Forgettable in a sense that it was extremely bad and there are such movies, but I'm afraid when it comes to this business, to summarize views on this movie, just to give general views of what the reviewers have thought, we've had the feeling that some of them have been entertained, that it was stylish, and that in fact style over substance, the critics have said, but it does seem to be this type of movie. I grew up with so many of them. We had, after all, Bond, the imitations of Bond, the spoofs of Bond, genres
I mean, I think Our Man Flint and the Matt Helm series obviously should be included there.
Our Man Flint was perfectly entertaining in its way. I mean, one thinks back and I think it was, you know, mild fun, but there were so many of them, and the problem is it didn't have much to say. You had exotic locations, you had beautiful women, and you had plots that, frankly, didn't hang together. And they didn't even attempt to hang together, and that's the pity with a movie of this sort, because, as you say, it may have a good cast.
Richard,
Henry Cavill was Napoleon Solo, and he and Kuryagin played by Army Hammer. Well, they've got to try and track down this Nazi scientist who had worked with the United States government and also a gang that have their own nuclear weapon, which has ties to former Nazis, which of course threatens the world. Alicia Vikander does look very, very fetching. The problem with this movie is that Elizabeth Debicki, as Victoria Debicki, may also look fetching enough, and so may the backgrounds. What about the script? I ask you, what's to love about a movie where we have some smart suits and we have some fun?
All right, Richard.
We have some glossy backgrounds and we got no sense.
We've got heaps of sense. I suggest you do as I did and go and see it again. One of the rare movies that I actually sort of thought, first time around, yeah, okay, I can go with that. It's okay.
You've seen it twice.
That. Exactly. And it flows perfectly.
Guy Ritchie would be thrilled to hear this.
Well, Guy Ritchie co-wrote it, co-produced it, developed it. We were listening, as I say, to some of the superlative music by Daniel Pemberton. And for me, as I said last night, and I'll reveal it once again as we sort of take this little musical break, there was a moment where it kind of emerged from being an okay movie, a good cinematic experience, to being, yeah, this is really Gary Barlow, a great cinematic night out. Okay, and it was the moment actually where they've rescued the daughter, Alicia Vikander, and when she met a great girl from Uncle, you know, the Roberta Flack themes and all the rest of the bits and pieces there. And so she is masquerading as the fiance of Ilya Kuryakin character, who's portraying an architect. Okay, although he's got anger issues, because quite clearly, I mean, his father had actually been spent time with Stalin and then sort of sent off to a gulag due to various other bits and pieces. But there's a moment in Rome, and they shoot it in Rome as opposed to the TV series.
Yes, it's a Marcellus set in Rome.
Yes.
I mean, I've also been there, and when I was there, at least it looked like the a ruin, which was rather fascinating and didn't have script. That was made up,
and the Trevi Fountain, of course, which was a classic Anita Ekberg scene, was sort of echoed, and you had a riff with respect to that, where Alicia Vikander, of course, who didn't appreciate her in Ex Machina, another great movie, but in this particular line,
a fascinating movie, but there was that movie which actually had brains behind an imagination behind it.
So we reached the stage.
I'm amazed that you've seen this not only once but twice, and also intellectualizing it in the way that you're doing. Those listening will actually think that they might be seeing something that was funny, that had.
But they are, Richard.
To give an example of one scene that was badly filmed, and they used a split screen, and I thought it was going to work, and that was the attack on the island. No spoilers, we won't say how.
You even have a moment where there's an homage to the original Jerry Goldsmith Man from U.N.C.L.E. theme, where the Napoleon Solo character, played by Henry Cavill, is actually in a truck, and he's sorting out radio stations, and he just clicks on a radio station, and then there's a dun-dun-dun-dun, just a few seconds. You know, it's a
homage is not enough when the movie's bad, because that's the trouble with a lot of these series. And if you look at the original series, and then, I mean, it's fine to study them, and it's fine to get fun out of them, and it's fine also to go a second time. I can't complain about that, because I've seen movies many, many times. I could recite their scripts on air, though. I was, but no matter how, I agree with you on one point only, and that is we have Hugh Grant as Waverly, and Waverly is rather an important figure.
I think he captured the spirit of Leo G. Carroll so perfectly from the original series, but I still haven't finished the moment in that where, for me, as they when in the narrative, it kind of moved from being okay to this is really great. Now, you know, and it was the sequence in Rome where you have the music of Solomon Burke, which is used just to actually as a backdrop to the dancing of Alicia Vikander, whilst Ilya Kuryakin, played of course by Army Hammer, is trying to do some chess, and this is what happened. We'll be right back.
nobody, 'cause you're on the phone. Oh, don't you feel like a cry? Don't you feel like a cry? Well, here I am, honey. Come on, you cry to me. When you're all alone in your lonely room, and there's nothing but the smell of her perfume, don't you feel like a cry? Don't you feel like crying? Don't you feel like a cry? Come on, come on.
So, as I said, first time round, I had two wonderful souls from Newcastle, actually, so I'll speak to Arthur McKenzie about that in a few moments, and they insisted on providing a mini commentary, not quite a DVD through the whole thing, which was irritating, but still didn't take away from the magic of the movie, even when they actually went out and said, well, that was a great laugh, wasn't it, pet? Anyway, they sure remain anonymous, but there we are. That was the moment for me. Solomon Burke, Cry to Me, and, you know, if you didn't actually have a sort of moment where you thought, oh, how wonderful, a little bit of romance there, they move from a little bit of dancing to a little bit of wrestling to all sorts of things, then I think you, Richard, I mean, what can I say?
Well, I'm afraid if you want to see Solo and Kuryakin fighting, you can see it alone, because I can see it. I mean, this was a clothes horse without excitement, far as I was concerned. I mean, you had what you've got. I obviously, you're fond of the genre, and obviously you remember the past and all the rest of it, and you can link homages and so forth. It's not that, as far as I was concerned, because I hadn't followed the Uncle series. And what I constantly see in so many of these send-ups of spy movies and this type of film, you get, as I just said, you get the glamorous women, you get the glossy occasions, you get improbable spills and chills and fun and games. And when it came to Mission Impossible Rogue Nation, it showed they could be genuinely exciting. And my real problem, and without going into intricacies in the movie, and frankly, I found it a tremendously forgettable movie. Whereas to you, it was vivid. I mean, you're painting
for different reasons. For different reasons, I'd score both Mission Impossible, Rogue Nation, and The Man from U.N.C.L.E. at a dead heat 9.5 each.
Wow, I am amazed. I really am.
Neither of which have reached my 10 out of 10 for Ant-Man, obviously, which is my movie
of the
summer.
Well, I mean, Ant-Man had a superb idea. That I am readily concede, but I do feel that the last half hour of Ant-Man, it degenerated.
Or indeed, the other 9.5, which I gave for Inside Out, but might be persuaded to go to 10 for
Inside Out,
because it was wonderful.
It was remarkable because of the imagination behind it. Now, what you see with The Man from U.N.C.L.E. was a remarkable lack of imagination. I mean, these were people were posturing. They were doing silly things, and there's no harm
but
about.
But that was the '60s, Richard. That's the '60s. You know, if you're, you struck the pose. Okay, you could argue that the Mary Quant dresses didn't actually emerge until 4 or 5 years after this particular sequence.
Yes, but I mean, if one takes it to that level, you're at least getting sufficient out of it that you're alive and alert to note that. Firstly, the dresses are Mary Quant. Secondly, that they didn't emerge from then, and then so you can enjoy it.
Yes.
But if you actually take it as a movie, which, as I say, I was not familiar with
Do you mean to say you weren't familiar with the United Network Command for Law and Enforcement? Richard, you'll be telling me you don't understand what thrush means next.
Well, I'm telling you that this movie, and quite a lot of people agree with you, quite a lot of people agree with me, this movie for me was a boring dud, which shouldn't have been made, simply because it didn't get anywhere, didn't say anything. It is a movie of a type. You're talking about the Armand Flint Phantom S type movies, Casino Royale sort of movies. This type of thing, I mean, the actors could have done these roles in their sleep. The stunts maybe did require some skill, but the skill was not there in the script. The script was lackluster, L for lackluster.
Clearly, the views of some of our correspondents do not necessarily reflect those of a Siren 107.3
FM
or indeed other areas. It's all I can say. But if you want to disagree with Gary Barlow, that's up to yourself.
I don't think really this.
I mean, you know, it's a different line. By the way, in case you're wondering, Thrush, who don't actually appear in the movie, which is quite, you know, I mean, there are people who actually say, yes, but there's no open channel D, there's no Thrush. Well, no, because it's a prequel to obviously Uncle setting itself up. And Thrush...
aspect of it, I think it is fantastic that you get out of it what you do, which I do in what I have for so many other movies, which I've seen, for
the
example.
The Third Man, for instance. The Third Man and Orson Welles' Harry Lime character, surely it's a shoo-in for Henry Cavill's Napoleon Solo. Thrush, by the way...
To The Third Man, I mean, this is... You've actually got... This is not only blasphemy, it's heresy.
Technological hierarchy for the removal of undesirables and the subjugation of humanity. That's Thrush.
I'm pleased you clarified that, because I've just spent the last 5 minutes scratching my head thinking... I don't know. But then, in my defence, I'm a 77 child, so I was a mere glimmer
of
the 60s.
Miami Vice, you see.
Yes.
You know, and Miami Vice
didn't. The movie on the large screen, was a movie that I think it was almost impossible to understand what they were saying. It was a pretty impenetrable movie.
Yes, sometimes actors like to mumble. You know,
and they mumble in real life, but that isn't helpful when you're trying to listen to what they're saying.
Correct.
Even if that is absolute nonsense, even if the script is turgid tripe.
Yeah, well, there we are.
I think that has to be my phrase du jour.
Okay. Well, you know, we'll agree to differ. You know, on that particular one.
I mean, that is all I can say. Is A Man from U.N.C.L.E. to sum it up: a train wreck of a movie. Mm.
I mean, clearly, Phil Lianis probably will agree with you on that one, but I will have to sort of battle through that. And
for once, we'll take the line of a take that man. Why not? If you have fun with it, can you go a second time, go a third time and enjoy it?
But, I'll wait for the DVD,
you won't,
Richard.
Be, no.
I'll wait for the DVD. You know, there's only a certain amount of sort of fun you can actually work.
No one enjoys going around Rome.
It was a choice between... Seeing The Man from U.N.C.L.E. again or Catching Pixels, and I thought the words Adam Sandler still send a shiver down my spine. So,
yes, I have to say they don't excite me to the extent where I want to see a movie. But when we move, if we may, and I was hoping to deal with Scotland, but...
you want to send in The Man from U.N.C.L.E. to deal with Scotland, that's what I say, or Muckhunter.
I mean, I have to say Trainwreck ought to get a mention, because with the director, Judd Apatow, who did Knocked Up, which was such a successful comedy, it stars Amy Schumer, who also writes it. And this is a movie that, I have to say, it's done pretty well, both from the point of view of the critics, and though it could have grossed more, people have found it entertaining. It's funny in bits. Its opening is hilarious. It could have been funnier, but there's a great deal to enjoy in it. If you want celebrities, well-known figures, it's rather fun to see LeBron James, Daniel Radcliffe, Marisa Tomei, Matthew Broderick, and Chris Evert pop up.
Well, of course, Marisa Tomei is rumoured to be cast as Aunt May in the upcoming Spider-Man Rules, which is quite interesting in its own way. Trainwreck, I don't know. I mean, I think the poster that we actually see there, we're pulling up the trailer now with respect to the sequence, it's a kind of Ladette scenario. It seems as though you're talking about Ladette, Seas, and various other factors.
Well, it is, because Schumer plays Amy. She's a habitual loner. She enjoys herself at parties, and basically if she goes with a guy, she won't spend the night, or will not tend to spend the night, until such time as she is sent to write an article about a sports doctor played by Bill Hader, and the two head it off. Stay there in Connors, and well, she breaks up with her regular date, and they start to bond, and then there are ups and downs with her sister, and over a particularly horrible father. A very funny opening scene, which, because the film spools subsequently 23 years later, where Gordon Townsend, played by Colin Quinn, tells two young daughters how dull monogamy is. Occasionally movies in this occasionally scenes in this movie are amusing, and I do have a weakness. You've confessed many weaknesses we've been discussing so far. I have one for Brie Larson, who plays Amy's sister Kim. It isn't that subtle. It is entertaining as a whole. I like Uptown Girl. Now, they're the tune that makes me tap my feet. Ooh. And you get plenty of it in this movie. I also have to say that it is a little sentimental and mawkish, and there's a scene at a funeral which, quite frankly, was another contrived piece of writing. But it does have a lot of laughs. Amy Skuba, she's good news. And it's a movie which has a heart, even if it wears it far, far too much on its sleeve. And overall, I did enjoy it. I found the famous faces popping in and out rather entertaining. There are some scenes. I've seen it at a baby shower, and I mean, the baby showers, those there were talking, of course, about The Man from U.N.C.L.E. and why they liked it. But you know, I have to say that Amy Schumer's take on life is...
strike me from the trailer as though it does fit into that genre which we refer to as a chick flick. But I don't know. Sue, I mean, does it appeal to yourself?
Jury's out, I have to say. I don't generally go for films that have what seems to me a bit like puerile humour.
From the poster in which we see the Barbara Woodhouse.
You're out in this one. There's no question about that.
Yes.
Richard, of course, being the man who it has to be said, just a little riposte to His Man from U.N.C.L.E., Richard actually finds the In-Betweeners high humour. So, you know, let's just put this in context.
You have the two of them, as opposed to this pretentious load of peffle where you please... you know, the homage, etc., etc. Oh. Give me the In-Betweeners, which is a good load of nonsense. You can actually L-A-U-G-H at it, and that's love.
We got the acronym.
I forgot to mention that Trainwreck does star Tilda Swinton as Amy's boss, and she wants the article about the sports doctor, and she's a ruthless woman in a man's world, running a man's magazine.
No clichés then.
And it's a stereotype, of course. As I say, this isn't a subtle movie, but I did find that there was quite a lot in the sort of rom-com that you could enjoy. And as I say, there were... It had a pretty good cast. I mean, I'm not over enthusiastic, and I'm not claiming it's subtle. I am saying that it, on the whole, because of Amy Schumer's rather lively contribution.
Well, she's clearly channeling the Barbara Woodhouse, the late great Barbara Woodhouse, with respect to the sit. You know the single index finger, which I've noticed has actually replaced the face as a current sort of in vogue way for actually saying shut up. Sort of thing. Finger. Exactly.
I was very amused, by the way. Talk about homage, you get onto Daniel Radcliffe as a dog lover and Marisa Tomei as they go to the movies, Amy and her date, and they see Tomei and Radcliffe involved with dark canines on the screen, and that I thought was very funny. I mean, it's so funny.
Sorry, they saw them involved with canines on the scene.
Canines, indeed. Yes, dogs.
It is only 20... it's 24 minutes to 9 o'clock, so just have to roll fire. Yeah. Anyway, the Barbara Woodhouse routine. Barbara Woodhouse as opposed to bestiality.
Yeah,
it's okay.
I
know where we're going.
See that really, a man from U.N.C.L.E. has launched you into territory that, other parts can't reach.
It's corrupted you, yes.
I will feature one more track from the soundtrack, which again was superbly put together.
May I thereafter just have a word about Holyrood House?
Okay, Daniel...
Would it be possible? Perhaps about The Fringe.
Do you want to do that now, Richard? We'll do that now, and then we'll take a little break and go up to Arthur, not Weingarten, of course, Arthur McKenzie. Yes. So share with us about what we were talking about last week with Professor Jane Chapman. And to be fair, Professor Jane still said, I thought you were frightfully rude with Richard this morning. You could sort of cut him off halfway through with that. I said, it's okay.
As though that were a new occurrence. I mean, it's one of those things that make our broadcast together such fun. Well, but a good disagreement. We haven't had one like this for quite a long
time. No, I feel privileged to have witnessed it.
But we remember the disagreements, I mean, when we agree, which is quite frequently, which is most of the time, I have to say. So, I mean, you know, from that point of view, Why not? I mean, you,
but sometime it's like Nicole Kidman singing Somewhere Over the Rainbow in Australia.
It really, really, really...
It's the Quantum of Solace. I'd say The Man from U.N.C.L.E. is a lot better than Quantum of Solace.
Australia, yes. I mean, these movies, these are nightmares, I have to say, because Australia was a movie so bad that even Baz Luhrmann, I suspect, when he thinks back on having made it, oh, if he was alive, he's dead in his grave. It's terrible.
He is alive. If you're saying if he was dead, he'd turn in his grave.
Well, I know.
Baz Luhrmann has not passed on. I just want to make that quite clear.
Yes, but I decided to kill him off.
Look, let's go back to Holyrood House. Let's get back up to Edinburgh. What was it all about? And last week and all the rest, because you returned about 7 days, of course, from the Edinburgh Festival. It's nice to see you paved the way for various other radio shows to go up and do their events as well.
One of the things about the Fringe, you can, of course, see such a vast variety. It was quite interesting. I'm not the greatest when it comes to comedy. I would go for drama if I had the choice. But it's very interesting to see wordsmiths, say, like Giles Brandreth, wow an audience. He put on a show, Word Power. And you have an audience absolutely roaring with laughter and appreciation throughout the hour and a quarter. Some of the shows are quite long. And this was terrific stuff. And there was also Rebecca Vaughan, who the show brought it back, actually, 5 years later, Elizabeth the First, which was, in Elizabeth's own words, and it gives you a wonderful idea of what life was like in a period when, as Queen of England, she was a deeply complex figure. She'd had an agonizing childhood, and it was an extremely dangerous world, and we could see the traumas, the plots she faced, and also, of course, the big question, would she marry, and if so, why, and would it not be safer not to, and what, in fact, did she feel as a woman, and so forth. It was an hour and a quarter with a one-person turn. It did, I think, it was somewhat slightly long, but these were Elizabeth's own words from letters, diaries, and speeches, and was, I thought, rather good. Jurassic Park delighted its audience because here was a tribute to the film. But there's a death. The death is of a mother who greatly admired the movie Jurassic Park. And they're going to show it at a memorial service, and they lose the video, and then they start thinking back of what she meant and what family means and so on. Very, very well done, and the miming absolutely thrilled the audience. Elf Lyons, pretty raunchy, being Barbarella, I have to say.
Did they start off with taking their clothes off in the sort of standard routine, as in Jane Fonda's original opening sequence of Barbarella, or did they ignore that?
Shall we say that she gave her own take on, well, on the movie and being a woman? And
Here's a pop question for you, Sue.
She linked it to her own life, and indeed I would have to say pretty loosely. But
okay, A question for both yourself, Richard, and Sue. I'll just rephrase that on this particular basis. Which character out of Barbarella inspired a very famous popular musical group? A combo, you might well say.
Well, that I don't know. You tell me.
Duran Duran.
Oh,
the angel in Barbarella.
Really?
Yes, exactly.
The angel in Barbarella.
Exactly. There.
I enjoyed it, but a long time ago, and I have to say not that much. I was watching, if you want a really good movie, Jane Fonda in Clute for the actor.
Okay. Well, I'll go with that. But just looking at the Daily Telegraph.
Around at 8, I've got to mention this because I don't know. It's a bit early in the day for swingers, that particular subject, but...
Are we talking Baloo the Bear here? No, silly question,
couple,
really.
When a couple want to liven up their relationship because it's got pretty dead, they're having problems, what do? You ask a friend, please send round a couple of your friends.
Do you really, Richard? I wouldn't say that was the best way forward.
It's a wonderful... It's very entertaining. It's not like sort of Alan Ackball, comedy of manners. Yeah. That I really enjoyed because... Although one or two parts of it were written and it was a character, it was pretty superfluous. It's one of those movies that, shows that was very entertaining. Now let's get the Holyrood House and the fact that opposite the Scottish Parliament, I better phrase it thus because things have become so appalling when you have a monstrous building placed.
Yes, I know we don't like the Scottish Parliament, Richard. We've gone through that before, so let's get to the point. 30 seconds.
The point is that Holyrood House is, I think, rather beautiful. It has an absolutely enchanting ruined abbey by the side of it. And I'm absolutely fascinated. The designer was Sir William Bruce, and the architect was my ancestor, Robert Milne, and I was very interested, the member of staff actually showing me where Milne had signed the job off, so to speak, on the brick work.
Well, exactly.
His father's
I bet they don't say it. You've had some cowboys in here, mate, when, you know, they're looking at Holyrood House. Yeah, it's a different line, don't they?
With its tapestries and paintings and so on. Mind you, some of the paintings are pretty strange.
Richard, it's been epic, and I'm just looking at the Telegraph's review of The Man from U.N.C.L.E., a truly pleasurable pastiche. That's the telegraph.co.uk. News from The Man. I can't believe that straight out of Compton, probably being reviewed next week, straight to number one with $56.1 million, whereas The Man from U.N.C.L.E. opened weekly with $13.5 million.
Yes, The Man from U.N.C.L.E. didn't do that well at the box office, and even you cannot pretend that it did. If words could bring in gold, yours would have brought it in. What a treasure trove.
Disappoints with action, but succeeds with comedy. Sue, last two questions for Richard Fitzwilliams, please.
Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us today, Richard?
Yes, I think it's been one of our most memorable ones. I had expected,
so do I.
I had expected to be discussing Lee Miller and Picasso.
And
will you be joining us again next week?
Yes, I know that. I certainly will be. I should be wondering what Alex will think of Mistress America. I mean, a movie.
Well, indeed.
he could actually go and see it, and he could be absolutely bored to death.
I think I see round two is imminent.
Richard, here's your reward. A wonderful, joyous sound of Billy Joel, Uptown Girl, as we reach 12 minutes to 9 o'clock. Can't believe that. We have to apologise straight away to Arthur McKenzie because it's all down to Richard Fitzwilliams, basically. Our cinematic critic just went on and on. He would not sort of accept that The Man from U.N.C.L.E. is just a sensational movie, and you know, you should check it out. Interesting enough, images of Arthur McKenzie. We're looking at images now of you, Arthur, at work, which is wonderful. So there we are. There's the man himself, you know, perusing through. Very, very fetching there, Arthur. Just the things you can find on the website.
Is that right?
Not everybody's Arthur McKenzie, but then when you Google Alex Leftuke under images, you don't get everybody being Alex Leftuke, otherwise I'd have had transgendered surgery in various sort of situations.
I've read me a bit eerie half a dozen times.
Well, Arthur, not that I want to obviously wish one's life away, but on the programme next week we have a police officer who was a chief inspector who is now a crime writer, who Sue co-presented with yesterday on the show Inspired On Air, who seems to be following in your footsteps, Arthur.
Oh, that's great.
Exactly.
This is what should do it.
So we'll be talking about that various things, but what is life like in the McKenzie household at present?
Because just normal, just getting older. Well, well, that's horrible. trying to come up with ideas and just trying to keep yourself together physically and mentally.
Last week, of course, Arthur, we left the listener hanging, almost on a cliff edge, really, as we said, Arthur Seagull. You know, Arthur writes about a seagull, and as Sue Royce, being a twin, whose twin sister is actually up at Newcastle at this moment.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, Sue Royce from Skegness, twin sister, now in Newcastle. Just shows, you know, Skegness and Tyneside, they have so much in common. would you like to share with us once again this tale of the seagull?
Well, it's a bit of a whimsy, really. It's just a story about a seagull, a little in verse, which the seagull wakes up in the morning and heads off over the river and heads up towards the derby match between Newcastle and Sunderland.
Oh. A suicidal seagull.
Oh. Yes.
Wavy lads.
Yeah. And what it spots spots on the way, and the different little characters that he sees, and then the characters have their own voice. I've got it intended as a bit of an animation. So it's really just a bit of a whimsy. I don't know where it came from, actually.
Quite often the best stories are those that you think of, or you think, where did that come from?
Yes. But I've enjoyed doing it, actually. I've really enjoyed doing it.
When you talk about animation, have you ever considered doing an animated version of Cop on the Tyne?
No.
You know, I'm just rolling that out there as a possibility, Arthur's autobiography. Cop on the Tyne. I think, you know, if you put it in an animated sort of scenario, it could be a winner. You know? Particularly the tale of the decapitated head, which I think, yeah. Would you like to share this? Because it's a wonderful piece for traffic and travel. By the way, traffic's looking okay in Lincoln.
Traffic news.
In this particular instance, would you like to just share the tale of the bait box, the decapitated head, and the traffic instance, Arthur?
I just had dealt with an accident and a very, very bad black spot, as it was then, on the main A1. And it was a nasty crash. There was two or three people killed, but there was one lady was decapitated, and a head, or what was left of it, was in a garden. And I had to knock on the door, and I asked the. Funnily enough, it was a police house. Funnily enough, it was like a police section house, and the cop who lived there. I said, "Have you got such things, a box or a bag or something, so I can put this in?" So my wife wouldn't possibly let you have a bag or a box to put that in. Anyway, I ended up getting a biscuit tin, it was a large biscuit tin. I put it in the biscuit tin, and by then everybody had cleared off, and I'd been left with it because I was just a probationer, you know. This is the trick, just let you get on with it. And then I went down to the section house, which was further down the road, about a mile down the road, and they were all playing cards. The sergeant wanted to know where I'd been. And he was playing hell because I was late for the card game. Anyhow, I sort of just put the tin on the table, pulled a bit of the skull and the head out. And of course, there was a little sharp intake of breath all round.
Oh, one shouldn't, but it is hilarious. Let's face it.
Well, it is. But I think the thing that got me was that the lady who had been killed was a doctor. She was on her way to work at the RVI. And I just couldn't help thinking that lady had put her makeup on, had a wash, done her hair and everything that morning, you know. So there was a sad sort of... Yeah. It was very sad, really, you know. Yeah. Although it was... But the humorous side of it was really to protect me and the others from the horror of it all, you know.
It is true, but you know, it's just obviously the notion of knocking on the door and saying, "Have you got some sort of carrier bag so I can put this heed in, pet?" It's just, oh well, never mind.
Yeah, no doubt you've been asked to do all sorts through your career.
Well, at first you reel a bit at it, but then after a while you just switch off.
Yeah.
The one side of your human emotion, and you just trigger off a sort of a professional side, which. Mm-hmm. But funnily enough, I mean, I've been away from the job nearly 30 years now. A lot of these things do come back to visit you.
Yes.
You know, they do come back as memories, not to frighten you or anything like that, but they do just visit you.
Yeah.
Stuart Gibbon is the name of the chap you'll be speaking to next week, but you know, I just thought it's nice to.
What force is he from?
He's Lincolnshire. Lincolnshire. Yeah. He's worked in Lincoln and London. Didn't do the Hong Kong stint, otherwise it would have been too scary, you know. But it's an interesting line. Anyway, we look forward to welcoming him. He's got a series of crime videos. In fact, before next week, I will send you the e-link to his website, and then you can actually check out his stuff.
Oh,
do
be
research.
Good. Yeah, that'd be good.
Shows perfection. Arthur, we need to obviously move on to talk about cycling in North Yorkshire in aid of the North Yorkshire Air Ambulance, something which our mutual friend Minty Steed is getting involved with, to the extent that her friend Jackie is going to be cycling the 40 miles with a tricycle. If you fancy helping out, feel free to do so.
Tricycle.
Exactly. It's an adult tricycle going from Howden to Pocklington, Yorkshire towns. If not, just sort of settle back and enjoy the coverage we'll try and bring you of this grand event, which is together with Get Cycling, I think, in York, the thing that's actually there. And why shouldn't you? Sue, would you like to put those last two questions to Arthur McKenzie, please?
I will. Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us today, Arthur?
I have, yes, I have.
And will you be joining us again next week?
I hope so.
Lovely.
I think that's a definite. Have you heard from Ian Lennox, by the way? I mean, I'm
yes, I have. Yes, I've had several emails of him. He's enjoying the sun. And he's buying himself a new set of clothes.
Well, you know, we have said he's had like the same sort of outfit for, what, 40-odd years now? So, you know, and Ian, of course, you know, every so often he takes time out to go to Canada. Thankfully, we can call on the legendary Arthur McKenzie to step on and do that sort of magic, which is there, which is, you know, tremendous in every sense of the word. So good news there. And I gather you probably haven't seen the Man from U.N.C.L.E. movie as yet, Arthur?
No, I haven't.
Waiting for DVD. Well, it created great controversy in the programme today. This is the outro. Nina Simone, take care of business.
Let me sit on top of your knee.